We're now going to open the Bible together, and CJ is going to come and read for us from Luke chapter 18, which is on page 1052 on a Bible near you.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted."
So over this period, we're looking at some of the parables of Jesus, and we're also looking at the values of the 24/7 prayer movement, which, surprise, surprise, start with prayer. So that's why we're looking at this tonight. We thought, rather than have one person talk about it, we'd have a conversation. And this is partly because some stuff that Jonathan shared with me and with the other Jonathan, Vicar Jonathan, a couple of weeks ago. So Jonathan, could you kick us off? You shared with me and Jonathan, I think, a few sort of pictures of prayer, either from your life or that you felt God had given you. Do you want to let us know those now?
Yeah. Actually, just before that, I didn't come up and share something because I shared something last week and I didn't want to hog the microphone. I said this morning, if you tuned in, sorry for the repeat, but just want to encourage you guys in worship in this time, like Jenny was saying, don't you love it when Jenny gets emotional? It's brilliant. Genuinely, I love it. God delights in our praise right now. And I was just thinking back there that if you're trying to get better at something, you don't always put yourself in the same kind of environment in order to do that. I know this won't go down very well with many people, but I'm going to give a golfing analogy. Toby, respect. If I'm trying to get better at golf, I don't hit my favourite shot time and time again. I try and put myself in situations where it's a little bit difficult. And although that analogy doesn't completely stack up with worship, where we find ourselves now is a position where we can become, we can find new depth in our worship. That before, ticking over Sunday by Sunday, we never had that challenge, and we didn't have this chance to grow in our worship life. So this is just an encouragement. I know it's hard. It was actually my first time in church not leading songs, and man, was it hard. I kept on starting the first few words of the line and then no, stop. But it is hard, but actually we can choose to say I'm going to engage in this anyway. I can't do it how I want to do it, but I'm going to engage anyway. And that's going to bring benefit to your own life, and it's going to bring benefit to the church family over the coming years, really. So make the most of that. What's the question?
Yeah, there was a couple of pictures of prayer that I remember. You might have different ones that come to your mind, but you share what comes to mind now.
So, one actual picture was a guy called John Tyson, who's a pastor in the States. He talks about different cries of children. And whether you've got children or not, I'm sure you've all experienced some different cries of children. And sometimes there'll be a kind of whine. And as a parent, I can tell you, I ignore that one completely. And then there's one that you know they're just completely putting it on. That can be ignored as well. But the one where it's like a gut-wrenching scream, that's when me and my wife kind of go running. We might be in a different room and we hear this gut-wrenching scream and we're like, that, we know something is up here, and we go running to find out. And John Tyson said, if there's ever been a time in our life for a kind of gut-wrenching crying out to God, now is the time, isn't it? The state the world's in, not just from COVID, but from so many troubling things that are going on, I really want to be now crying out to God, not just kind of, and I just fall into this trap time and time again of just like being laid back about it. but this isn't a time to be laid back about it. This is a time to be really pressing in and crying out to God. And on that, similar to that, I just thought, actually when we were speaking, I just thought if we're stranded on a desert island, and a boat comes past, what would we do? I mean, the reality is every single one of us here, we would cry out at the top of our voices. We would be waving. We would be doing everything we can to get the attention of that boat. Whether we were kind of an extrovert or an introvert, whatever our personality is like, that would actually be put to one side, and we would be crying out. And again, I kind of feel that we're in that moment. Now, kind of what our passage was speaking about tonight, where both those pictures don't quite stack up, is the fact that we have a loving Father who is paying attention to our prayers each time. And it's not like we're not doing this because we think he's not listening. We're just doing this because we're stirred up to do it because of the situation we find ourselves in. So I'm not saying we've got a deaf God or a God who's kind of not that interested. But I'm more saying the severity of the situation we're in calls us to a greater intensity in prayer.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the first story that Jesus tells here of the persistent widow, he seems like he's not too nervous about people kind of, he says, he tells a story about an unjust judge. Like, he's saying this is nothing like God. God is just and he's merciful and he's listening out because he's a father. Jesus told us that we can pray for our Father in heaven. But then he says, but will he find, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And he's kind of showing what the persistent widow is doing, going back to this unjust judge again and again and again. She must have the tiniest mustard seed of faith because she knows he's unjust. Like, why would she turn up again and again and again? And we, with the mustard seeds of faith that we might have, will our faith look the same to show up again and again and again, whatever the size of faith that we have? And to me, it's a great picture of faith because it's, I think sometimes faith is glorious. Another picture of prayer that I was connecting with you, although I think it was your wife sharing on Instagram, was beautiful sunset and a round of applause for it. So that came to my mind. So sometimes faith looks like that. It's just, it springs from our feelings and from a place of adoration and from the beauty of God and from, like, sometimes faith comes first and then we pray. And sometimes we pray and feelings come afterwards. And we shouldn't be dependent on our feelings to kind of dictate our prayer. And I feel like that's the case for this widow. She doesn't let her feelings about this judge stop us showing up. Sometimes faith is about we show up, right? That's the call of prayers, the call of people who are called to pray.
I'm not sure where, I didn't check. There's another parable about the sleeping neighbour. Is that, and I was just reminded of that before today, about the person knocking on the door, and the neighbours kind of saying, don't bother me, you know, I'm asleep and all that. And yet the persistence means that the neighbour gets up. And just thinking about that, again, it's not saying that God is like the sleepy guy who doesn't want to be bothered. Actually, it's saying God is so much greater, so much more willing to listen and answer our prayers. But the persistence is what it's highlighting. That's the good thing, to carry on praying. And if we don't see or know an answer, let's be persistent. Let's not just say, okay, I pray for that once and it and nothing happened, let's give up now. I think there's a good thing about persistence.
Yeah. It's I've quoted this before now, but Pete Gregg, who runs the 24/7 prayer movement, he says there are three great tips for prayer: keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. And I think those are really good for us to hold on to. And I think really the parables here kind of point us towards that. The persistent widow kept it simple. She was just, grant me justice against my adversary. She kept it up. She kept on going, and she kept it real. Like she wasn't going to pretend that things were right. And we don't have to do that. And I think the second parable, which is about the Pharisee going and getting chummy with God. Like, you know, I thank you that I'm not like these other people. You and me, Lord, we know that tax collector is like, is this loser? Like, you don't need to listen to him. And the tax collector knew where he stood with God. Like, he knew that God is holy and he's other. And he was the one who went righted, like justified, kind of. I kind of think of when you are on a word processor, to justify, like, means to line things up. And I think that kind of attitude of humility is not about us feeling dreadful about ourselves. It's about us kind of just having a right ordering of who runs the world. God does. And who doesn't? We don't. And I think that's such a helpful thing. We keep it real when we're like, you are God and I am not. And that's part of our prayer life.
Yeah, years ago I read a book by Richard Foster. I think it's just called Prayer. And the first chapter, and it went through different kind of types of prayer. And the first chapter is just called Simple Prayer. And it was such a relief to read this because basically he said some people kind of look down on this and, you know, think that you need this kind of lofty prayers, just like in the second parable here. And actually he was saying, if all you do is simple prayer, that's okay. You know, if all you can do really is cry out to God, he still wants you to do that. And sure, there's other ways and there's other things we can be doing and nurturing in our lives that are going to help our relationship with God. But don't run before you can walk, and don't think unless I use big words or whatever, then it's not effective. Actually, simple prayer is the best place to start always.
That reminds me, and the story that you told before is remind me of a something that happened on my holidays. I was holidaying with my family, that includes my nephew and my niece, their brother and sister, and me and my sister went outside and just chilling out, and they were inside, and there was this, like, one of those screams, like, we were like, from my niece, just this blood curdling scream, and like every adult just kind of looked at each other like, oh my goodness. And then my nephew's voice, her older brother, said, "Mummy, something bad has happened." And it kind of was like this picture of all that my niece could manage was like this yell. And my nephew almost interceded for her. Like, he found some words. "Mummy, something bad has happened." Everything was well. It was a tail had fallen off a very much loved monkey, soft toy monkey. It was a bit, we managed to sort it, but yeah. So yeah, we don't, like, sometimes all we've got is a yell, sometimes we've got some words, and that kind of sense of sharing in one another's prayers and bearing each other's burdens, I think, yeah, is another picture. I can't really see the clock there because the it's shining on it in a weird way, so there's a risk we could chat on all that. Is it quarter past-ish?
On there, it's 7:13.
Oh yeah, okay. Let's turn to practicalities then.
Yeah.
What does prayer look like for you?
Well, I think Jenny didn't tell me this, but I think she recruited me for this because she probably suspects I've got a terrible prayer life.
I really don't.
And so yeah, it just looks so different from day to day. I try to get in a pattern, in a rhythm, and that is a really helpful thing, and I will continue to try that. But the reality is, a lot of my prayer life is moment by moment, kind of when things come to my mind, whether they're great things that I want to tell God how good he is and thank him, or whether I find myself in a desperate situation, I turn to him. Very often, it's a surprise, surprise for me, it's linked with worship. You know, really, worship is a form of prayer, and as I'm worshiping, I will things will come to mind that I want to either hand over to God that I can't bear myself, or good things that I want to praise him for. So it's not a kind of I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I try to. Yeah, it comes out. It does come naturally, but it's not a kind of set time in my day.
Yeah.
What about you, Jenny?
Yeah. Well, actually, similarly, I think I long to have like this monastic rhythm of prayer, and I really don't. And something I've learned about myself is that you know, I sometimes say this will be my rhythm from now on, and I can keep that up for maybe like a week or 10 days. So I now like make a virtue of that and think, okay, for this week, here's what I'm going to do for my prayers, and I know that I can keep up for a week, and then next week I'll do something fresh. So for example, I might use really simple the ACTS model of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, which means like to ask. So this week, you know, this week my morning prayer will just, you know, use the ACTS model. Next week I might use I've talked about the Lectio 365 app as my prompt to prayer. I find that really helpful. Might do that for a week. The week after that, I might occasionally use Church of England Common Worship, their kind of daily prayer. And sometimes I might like start with I always start with a psalm. Start the day with a psalm and end the day with a psalm before I get onto like anything else on my phone or whatever. But the truth is, I sometimes feel like I should be able to do this myself. You know, I shouldn't need like an app or words or something else that somebody's given me to pray. I should just be able to do it if only I was holy enough. But then I remember that Jesus and his disciples used the helps that were there, right? They used the Psalms, the prayer book of the Psalms. They used Jewish prayer. They use the rhythm of Jewish prayer, would have been morning, noon, and evening. So let's not be ashamed to use the excellent helps that are out there to help us pray, whether it be an app, whether it be you know, some liturgies, some things that have been written down for us. Let's use the Psalms to help us worship. You know, let's give ourselves the crutches that we need. I need crutches in my prayer life, let's use them where we've got them.
Just reminded again, talking about 24/7 prayer again. We did was it the Lord's Prayer? We had Pete Gregg talking to us on the screen last year, which was brilliant, and I encourage you to look that up. One of the things he said in the Lord's Prayer, of course, right at the start, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's something so helpful, and a psalm often does this as well, is something so helpful about bringing to mind the greatness of God right at the beginning of our times with Jesus, because this is something I'm banging on about. If we've got a low opinion of God, that's going to massively affect our prayer lives. If we've got an opinion that he's a grumpy old man, that's going to we're not really going to want to turn to him. If we've got an opinion that he is a weak God, we're not really going to bring anything big to him then. All these things get blown out of the water as we bring to mind and recognize his greatness. And so, you know, in the Psalms, you know, such great language of greatness and beauty, and other ways, you know, in some of the modern worship songs and stuff like that, and in poetry, and I find, like my clapping, in nature, you see the majesty of God and his handiwork. If God can do that and throw billions and billions of stars into space just at will, then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I can bring anything to God now, because he is all powerful and he can do that. And then as we look at Jesus and think of the cross and his love for us, then it's like, oh, I can bring anything to him because he cares for me. And that just encourages me. Whereas if I'm kind of down on God, then I find my prayer life struggles.
Mm. I think we'll wrap up and I'll ask you to lead us in some sort of response, which we haven't discussed. So looking forward to whatever you do there. But just to kind of wrap up is going back to kind of a bit of an overall theme for this season, which is about being disciples and about what is sometimes called like a rule of life, which I guess is just a decision that each of us make about what are the things that govern our life. I think because things are so, there are so many changes in our circumstances as a community, as a nation at the moment, for us to know the things that guide us I'm speaking to myself, I think I'm a fool if I don't hold on to the things that won't change. And I think prayer gives us an opportunity to hold on to the things that won't change. And this is a season where, as Jonathan says, same with worship, same with prayer. We're in straitened circumstances, and those can sink our roots down deep in prayer and worship. And I just long for us I know that when we do that, we will find we'll find him faithful. Over to you to lead us in whatever response.
Yeah, I just thought, and you may all be thinking this, and of course, it's absolutely impossible to cover much in a quick conversation like this. But such an important part of prayer is that it's two-way. Have you ever been in one of those moments when someone has just talked at you and you don't have any chance to get in a word in edgeways? That's not actually a conversation. And you could even say, when it comes to prayer, that's not really prayer. Prayer is a two-way thing, and we're promised that that God will answer our prayers, and we're not promised that he'll always answer them how we thought he might, and actually he may answer no, as we many of us learn in Sunday school, but he will always answer. And I just again, another thing that came to mind, I don't know whether you guys remember Numa videos that Rob Bell did years ago, There was one called Noise, and it was all about what bombards us day by day, the kind of the news and adverts and kind of relationships and busyness. And Rob Bell said, is there any chance that maybe God is talking to you, but you just can't hear him because of all this noise? And so another part of prayer is quietening our hearts and allowing him to speak. So we're just going to do a bit of that now, and just saying to God, okay, you know my heart, you know where I am, you actually know what I need before I even say it. Now, Lord, speak to me, and that might be that might be an audible voice or some words coming to mind. It can actually just be a sense of comfort or peace. God can speak to us in so many different ways, but let's just quieten our hearts and say, Lord, speak to us now. So the word that came to me as we were listening was freedom. And that could have just been for me, or it could have been for us all. And I just wonder, in the spirit of freedom, whether maybe some of you had a word like that, just a single word that popped to mind as we were listening. And if that was the case, then why don't you be courageous and speak that word out? Because it's as we speak these things out that they kind of gain momentum and power. So if you had a word come to mind, speak that out. I didn't hear a thing Madeline said, but bless her for speaking it out and breaking that silence. Just give a few more minutes. I think actually the word freedom for me was freedom to do this and not feeling kind of under pressure or awkward about it. So we'll just give it another minute if any other words come to mind. But there's freedom in this place. Doesn't matter if you haven't got a word and you say nothing. I'm not going to get upset about it, but just let's carry on for one more minute. I'll repeat that, the word honey and the sense of sweetness. Okay, let's all stand. I'll get you all to stand because sometimes I say if you want to respond in a way to a word that's been said, please stand. I think we probably all would like greater prayer lives and more powerful and effective prayer lives, more intimate prayer lives. So I've nominated you all to respond to this and I'll just pray for our prayer lives. Lord Jesus, we just want to learn to have conversations with you better, Lord. We want to pray in your name, meaning praying your will. Wow, Lord, I'm just thinking for me, if I started praying more about your will than mine, the amazing answers to prayer that I would see. And Lord, that is the case for all of us, Lord. I pray that we would pray your will. Lord, I pray that we would know more a sense of awe and wonder when it comes to you, Lord, that we would have our minds blown by how good you are and we would just be drawn into prayer from that. Lord, would you be stirring a passion in us to pray when we see things and hear things that just aren't right, Lord. Stir a passion in us to bring those things to you. Lord, when we don't know what to do, open our ears, Lord, that we might hear your guidance, your way of doing things. Lord, I just pray that for each and every one of us here, we would be encouraged in our prayer life this week, that we would experience a closeness to you through it, and that we would see answers to our prayers, that we would know that you are faithful. We wouldn't just believe it with our heads, but we would believe it with our whole beings because of those times with you, Lord. Okay, yeah, you can sit. One more thing, I know I'm going on. Just one more thing that really struck me is a time when the disciples were praying for a healing or a deliverance. And they'd already done great things, the disciples, without Jesus even being there. They had been sent off and they had done great things. But after that, they came and they couldn't get the result they were looking for. And so they turned to Jesus and he said, it only comes out through prayer and fasting. And that's Jesus saying that. Jesus, kind of God in the flesh, is saying these things only happen through prayer and fasting. If Jesus needs to say that, we all need to say that. And encourage you to think about fasting in this time. Fasting for me is like a big deal. I really hate it. I mean, I love my food. So fasting's a big deal. But fasting is, in a way, to me at least, one of those gut-wrenching cries. It's kind of I'm going that extra mile to really. I don't know, to say, I mean this 100%, I need you. And again, this is the time to be looking into that kind of stuff, how the world is and COVID and all that. So just that's an encouragement. Let's stand and not sing our final song, but join with John in our hearts singing as we close.